This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parshas Mishpatim. I'm going to share with you a few beautiful ideas. The first, the Parsha begins with the Parsha of Eved Ivri. The Pasuk says, Ki sikne Eved Ivri, sheishonim yavod, v'shvitz yetzel achof shichino. We are sort of conditioned to think about slavery and the like, but that's not how the Torah perceived slavery. We're talking about a person who stole. He couldn't afford to pay back what he stole, and he's got to pay off his crime. And therefore, he's got to be enslaved to you. But don't think it's easy. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Chof Amud Aleph, Kol HaKoyne Eved Ivri, anyone who acquires an Eved Ivri, is Kakoyne Odin La'atzma. He's acquired not a slave, but a master for himself. And the Gemara gives examples. It says in the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, not in this week's Parsha, it says, Ki Toiv Lo Imach, that it should be good for the Eved when he's with you. So the Gemara gives examples. The Gemara says, in other words, that you shouldn't be eating the refined bread made of refined flour. And he's eating the inferior bread. You're drinking the superior wine. And he's drinking the inferior wine. You sleep in the nice bed and he sleeps on straw. But rather make sure he gets it. But if you acquire an Eved, you're acquiring a master. Says Taisus over there, an interesting Kasha. Says Taisus for Kasha. My Odin, why does it say that Koine Eved Ivri is Koine Odin La'atzme? You've acquired a master of yourself. He should be the same. He should be equal to you. Why is he on a peg higher than you? Says Taisus. V'yesh lema, he quotes a Yerushalmi. V'yesh lema k'de'isa b'Yerushalmi. D'pa'amim, ein lo yele karachas. Sometimes it will be a scenario where the master only has one pillow. Now who sleeps on this pillow? The Odin or the Eved? Im sheicher lo ba'atzma, if the Odin chooses to sleep on it, ein lo mekayim ki tov lo yemach, he hasn't fulfilled the Torah's requirements if it's good for you. It is good for the Eved to be with him. It is not, because he's the Odin slept on with the pillow, not the Eved. And if no one sleeps with it, and he put the pillow back in the cupboard, that's midas stone. You can't do that. In a situation where there's one pillow, you're by force, you're going to have to give it to him. Okay, that's the thesis and the answer of the Yerushalmi. I came across a kasha of Reb Leib Lapian. Reb Leib Lapian was the Rosh Hashiva in Gateshead, the son of the famous Reb Elia Lapian, and perhaps to us here in London, he's the father of Dayan Lapian. Zichrein Evrach, who's Yosside indeed is tonight and tomorrow, Dayan Lapian. Really a very sorely missed and a very beloved figure here in London and way beyond. So Reb Leib Lapian asked the following question. There is a famous Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Samach Beis Amud Aleph says, Shnayim shohim mahalchim baderech. Two people were walking in the desert. Ubiyad echod mehen kitten shalmayim. And one of them has a flask of water. And it's piping hot. And they're both desperately thirsty. Who gets to drink? Im shayis and shnayim, if they both share the flask of water, mesim. There won't be enough water for them and they'll die. V'im shayis echod mehem. And if only one of them drinks, then magia liyishuv, that person who drinks will make it back to habitation. So what to do? Dorash ben Patera, mutzav sheyish tashnehem v'yomusu. Better they both drink than one drinks and effectively kills the other one. They better both drink and they should die. V'alira echod mehem b'misosa shechaver, the one shouldn't see the death of the other. Ad shibor Rabbi Kiva v'limeid, until Rabbi Kiva came along and said, no, v'chai ochicha imoch. Your life comes first. Ask Reb Leib Lapian, so why don't you invoke the same principle with the Eved? Why should they be equals? Why should you treat your slave like yourself? Surely, what happened to that? If there's one bed, you should get to sleep in it. Isn't that? Says Reb Leib, a very interesting insight. Imagine there's one bed, and there's one bed and there's straw, like the Gemara says. So if you, the Odin, were to sleep on the straw, what's the consequence? It's an uncomfortable night. If the Eved were to sleep on the straw, there's a double whammy. There's two problems. Number one, he's going to have an uncomfortable night. And number two, he's going to have a reminder when he puts his head on the straw that he's an Eved. The straw, as it were, is screaming out to him, you're an Eved. And therefore, it's not the same. It's not Chayecha Koidin. Chayecha Koidin is when it's equal level playing fields. But if it's not level playing fields, if there's two problems for the Eved to sleep on it, A, it's an uncomfortable night, and B, it's a reminder that it's an Eved, then it's worse. And therefore, you have to sleep on the straw bed. What's Reb Leib saying? Reb Leib is saying that the Torah is obligating us to enter the mind and to recognize the feelings of another person and to enter the mindset of the Eved, of the slave. A very important point. I'm reading a book at the moment, Reb Shlomo Gissinger. I'd never heard of him, must be honest with you, but he was a Rav from Lakewood. He died, I think, not long ago. I'm working my way through the Sefer, through the book, an amazing book. And he's clearly an outstanding Talmud Chacham and a remarkable Baal Chesed. So one of the stories, I think, fits in very well with this idea. He tells a story that Reb Shlomo Gissinger, he was the Merid Asra in a suburb of Lakewood, a well-known posek. And a young man goes into town, arrives in town, he hasn't been there that long. And he decides after a few days, he goes into one of the local stores, he buys himself a sandwich, a kosher eatery. And he goes in, and to his surprise, he sees the Merid Asra of Shlomo Gissinger standing, ordering a deli sandwich. Okay, a bit unusual. But then his intrigue is piqued because Shlomo Gissinger is standing there and he says, tell me, I want a geshmak a deli sandwich. I want a great deli sandwich. What do the Olam like? What do people like? Are the fried onions good? What condiments go with it? What are the chips like? And put the condiments on the side, not together with it. I want it to be really good. The guy was thinking, this is the Merid Asra, this is the Rav in town. A bit unusual. Okay. Reb Gissinger leaves. They sort of acknowledge each other. Reb Gissinger says to him, enjoy your lunch. And he leaves. This guy, this fellow new to town, he orders a turkey sandwich. He goes out to his car. And when he pulls out, in fact, the car in front of him is the Rav, is Reb Gissinger. And he's so intrigued. And his intrigue increases when Reb Gissinger doesn't stop off at his own home, carries on driving. And he carries on driving and he makes a few turns and then he gets out. And this fellow is so intrigued, he's got to follow him. So he follows him. The Rav gets out of his car. He takes the bag out with the sandwich. He puts it on the door handle of the house, rings the door, runs back to his car and drives away. The sandwich wasn't for him. Okay, beautiful story, very nice. But listen to the postscript. Sometime later, this man meets Reb Gissinger and he says to him, Rebbe, by then they're friendly with each other. He says, you got to help me. It's been bothering you for so long. I saw that time you did that. And I was chesh, I thought the sandwich for you, and it seemed a little bit strange, not in the world, but it seemed a bit strange. I've got one question. When you were leaving the store and you said to me, have a nice day, enjoy your lunch, why didn't you tell me that this sandwich is not for you? So Reb Gissinger said to him, without missing a beat, he said to him, but how would that have made you feel? If I would have said to you, this is not for me, I'm doing it for somebody else, wouldn't that have implied that I don't do this, I don't eat these sandwiches, but it's good for you? Why would I say that? That's chesed with sensitivity. An important point. Okay, let's press on. The pasuk carries on in Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Tes. Now, I put the translation in here. If you're listening online, I'm not sure if I've told you already, but please do email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. How would you translate that? Sheikhad, you're not allowed to take a blind. Why? Because Sheikhad is Yaveh Pikhim. It blinds the seeing person. V'yisalef divrei tzadikim. And it corrupts. How would you have translated it? I would translate it as divrei tzadikim, the words of the righteous. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, divrei tzadikim, dvarim hamutfudokim, words that are just. Mishpatei emes, true judgments. So therefore, v'yisalef divrei tzadikim, the bribery corrupts words that are just. Asked the Baratunura. The Baratunura wrote a famous Pirush on Mishnayos, of course. But he also wrote a Pirush on Rashi. So the Baratunura in his Pirush, Amar Mikor, which is based on a pasuk on Daniel, the Baruch Tanur asks the following question. He says, Kasha, Shahari Milas Divrei Hi Smucha Lemilas Sadikim. The word Divrei is juxtaposed to the word Sadikim. Mashmol, if you dig the Kadvarim, Shahnoshim Sadikim. Like we would have thought, it corrupts the words of the righteous. Why didn't Rashi translate it like that? But Loma Pirish Shaleka Mashmol. Says the Baruch Tanur, Yishlema, the Ma'acha Shelokach Shechat. We're talking about a posuk, a rov, who took a bribe. Ain roi lekreis a tzaddik, and therefore it's not appropriate to call him a tzaddik. We're talking v'sheichad lesikach. Don't take a bribe, because if you take a bribe, it will corrupt you. Who? The words of a tzaddikim. If you're taking a bribe, you're not a tzaddik, and therefore Rashi has to translate the posuk not as divrei tzaddikim, the words of the righteous, but rather words that are just. Interesting. Now, there's a fascinating insight by Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer Talmud Dekra, one of his Sfarim. He says the following: "V'yisalef divrei tzaddikim." You'll note that the word tzaddikim is spelt with two yuds. Yeah, I've got it on the sheet there. Tzaddikim with two yuds. B'maseira says Reb Chaim, "V'maseira less mila demole kolei meshechol tzaddikim shemikra chaserim chus mizeh." Throughout Tanakh, when you have the word tzaddikim, tzaddikim is spelt choser. There's only the first yud, not the second yud. Why here is it spelt full, and why elsewhere is it spelt choser? Says Reb Chaim, Nira, Mishum da omri b'ksubas, the Gemara says in ksubas, af kuf hei om a beis, afilu tzaddik gomur, even a righteous person, v'noitel sheichad ein nifta b'leitir of das, it will affect even him. Lokach ksiv mole, Kalomar, afilu tzaddik gomor, even if the guy is a tzaddik gomor, two yuts, mole, a tzaddik gomor, even someone like him, it will corrupt him, bribery will corrupt him, and he will not be able to issue a correct psak, or he won't be able to, it will have an effect. Masha'enken kol tzaddikim choser, but the rest of the Torah, tzaddikim is spelled choser. Why? Ki odom ein tzaddik ba'aretz, because there's no such thing as an imperfect, perfect tzaddik. Doesn't exist. Amazing. So therefore, throughout Torah, tzaddikim is spelled choser, because there's no such thing as perfection. Even the greatest tzaddik can do something, the fimadrigoso, which falls short a little bit. But the point over here, the reason why it's spelled tzaddikim with two yuds, to tell us that even a tzaddik gomor will be corrupted by sheichat. The famous story of the Sma. The Sma is one of the mefarshim, one of the nosekelim on Choshen Mishpat, which deals with all monetary matters. He wrote a famous, famous commentary. One time, the Sma himself was involved in a Din Torah, and he lost. And he asked the Dayanim for an explanation, and he argued with their explanation. And they showed him that they were right based on a Sma. Based on a Sma, based on his own words that he had written in his commentary to Choshen Mishpat. Of course, the idea is it's very, very hard to remain impartial, even someone as great as the Sma. Amazing. Okay, let's press on. The pasuk says, "Midvar sheker tirchok." Keep away from falsehood. The Pele Yoetz on the entry to sheker, top of the next page, says something very interesting. Think about it. Throughout Torah, we never told keep away from something. We never told when it says don't eat nevela, don't eat basar v'cholov. It doesn't say tirchak, keep away from it. It doesn't say keep away from breaking Shabbos, keep away from speaking lashon hara. It just says, don't speak Lashon Hara, don't break Shabbos, don't eat Basar V'Cholov, whatever it may be. But all of a sudden, says the Pele Yoetz, as he notes, when it comes to Sheker, we're told to keep a million miles away. Says the Pele Yoetz, Mishiyesh b'midazu, l'dabe shekarim, to speak falsehood, mivad sh'oiv al masha omer Torah, mitva sheker tirchak, v'ain shegol, his punishment is great, say olamad, I'll prove it to you, sh'lo ne'ma b'shum aveir Lashon Hachok, k'moy b'zu. Okay. I came across something. I give a shiur in school to one of the choices on, it's called the Middah's Workshop. We work through various middahs. The last two or three weeks, we're looking at the middah of MS. So I came across this, and I'd like to share with you something amazing. The Chofetz Chaim wrote many svarim. He wrote the Mishnah Berurah, of course, on Shulchan Aruch, on the first chelik of Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim. He wrote the Sefer Lashon Hara Chofetz Chaim, which gave him his name. But he wrote many other svarim. One of the other svarim he wrote is the Sfas Tomim. The Sfas Tomim is about good speech, about the importance of telling the truth. He says something there which is astonishing, and I came across a story which I want to share with you. It says the Chofetz Chaim, V'hine yodua me'azor hakodesh. It's well known, says the Chofetz Chaim, that the Zohar HaKadosh writes, Sheshiva dinin oivin al odra. After a person passes from this world, he has to go through seven judgments. Ashe yovir lamokum nuchos, until he reaches his final resting place. Umi yochel l'shaya goydel kol kach din v'din. Who can estimate the exactitude of every single judgment? Who knows how penetrating it is? V'kichlo yiskol ad-dinim v'kol inyonim. And after everything is done, if a person has money which does not belong to him, he borrowed money, didn't pay it back, he stole money, the guards of Gan Eden will not allow him. He's been through all the dinim and he's now finished and ready to go to his place in Gan Eden. They won't allow him in. But they'll keep him at a distance. He'll see his seat. If he's lucky, but they won't allow him entry into his place in Gan Eden. And he'll cry bitter tears that he's got to be reincarnated and come back to this world, to be reborn, and to die again, etc., etc. Who knows if he'll merit again to come to Gan Eden? Very, very, very sharp, strong words. A person who has gezel, who is not scrupulous when it comes to honesty, who didn't keep to this midvash sheketirchok, Rachman Islan, who leaves this world owing money, having stolen money, hasn't repaid it, then he will, the shomrei ha-pesach in Gan Eden won't allow him in. Let me share with you a story, astonishing story. I saw it in Shimon Finkelman's Lessons in Truth, which is a pirush on this Sefer Sfas Tomim. He says the following story. He heard it from Yehuda, from the Master Shiva of Yehuda Zev Segal, and it comes all the way from Reb Chaim Volozhin. Chaim Volozhin, he was involved in this incident, which I'm going to tell you, and he said the story to his Talmud of Zundel of Salant, who told it to his Talmud of Yisrael Salanta, who told it to the Alter of Kelm, who told it to Reb Simcha Zissel Breuder, who told it to Reb Elia Lapian, who told it to Yehuda Zev Segal, the Magister of Shiva. So it's literally ish mipi ish. The story is as follows. In the early days of the Volozhin Yeshiva, this is the early 1800s, the Reb Chaim Volozhin set up the yeshiva that they would learn 24 hours a day. There would be throughout the night a group of boys who were learning. And many times the Reb Chaim Volozhin would sort of go down, walk in the corridors of the Beis HaMedrash and see how the boys are doing. One time, middle of the night, 3-4 in the morning, he had a very strange encounter. What happened? A few weeks earlier, one of the boys in the yeshiva, Rachman Islam, became very ill. The yeshiva couldn't care for him. They decided the best thing is, in consultation with the parents, they were going to send him home. They sent another bocher to go with him. And he went back home. Journey, travel, in those days was much more difficult than today. They got on a horse and cart. It was a journey of a few days. And one night they stayed at an inn. And the innkeeper, the next day, gave them their bill. They didn't have enough money to pay. So the boy who was sick said, look, my parents have given reshus to this boy to come with me. We'll foot the bill. We're going back home. My parents will give my friend money. And when on the way back to Volozhin, he'll give you the money. The innkeeper was very gracious and agreed to it. They get home. The boy, Nebuch, he says goodbye to his friends. And the boy, unfortunately, does not recuperate. He passes away a short while later. Meanwhile, Chaim Volozhin is walking in the, they hear the boy has passed away. A few days later, Chaim Volozhin is walking in the Beis HaMedrash, 3 o'clock in the morning, and this boy who had passed away suddenly appears in front of him. Chaim Volozhin is not perturbed. He keeps his calm and his cool, and he says to him, how did you fare in the Din V'cheshbon? How did you fare in the heavenly tribunal? And the boy said, thank God, I've been allowed to go to Gan Eden. And especially the last week that I was unwell, that wiped clean a lot of my averas, and therefore I was able to go into Gan Eden. But as I was about to go in, the Shomrei HaPesach did not allow me access. Why? Because I owed money to this innkeeper. And there was a big tumult in the heavenly tribunal, in the Beis Shemaila. On one hand, they said, how can he go in? He owes money to somebody else. On the other hand, they said, but it's not his fault. He gave the money to the friend, and what happened? His friend forgot. He went straight back to the yeshiva. He forgot to pay the innkeeper. Says the pshara, the Beis and Shemala allowed him to go to appear to Reb Chaim Volozhin to ask him to deal with it. So Reb Chaim Volozhin said, I will undertake to deal with it. And the boy disappeared. Reb Chaim Volozhin went straight to his friends, and the boy, his friends, woke him up. He was traumatized. He couldn't believe he'd forgotten. And straight away that morning, he set off to go to the innkeeper to pay the money. But there you see an amazing incident, Ish Mipiyash, from Reb Chaim Volozhin down to the Manchester Yeshiva, of an example of what the Chofetz Chaim mentions. Astonishing. Let's finish off with one idea. Beautiful idea I heard from Rabbi Sholem Rosen. He was in school last year, and he comes every year recruiting for the boys to go to yeshiva. And he mentioned this verse from Chaim Kreisberg. Beautiful idea. At the very end of the parasha, we have the whole episode of what took place on Har Sinai. The pasuk says, "Vayovu Moshe b'teche onam vayal en har." Moshe Rabbeinu is on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. There's a famous Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says, "Vayhi Moshe Bahar Shelo Yerit." He didn't come down from the mountain. Because of Al Eile Haboim Yoim Lechem Lo Achalti V'Mayim Lo Shasisi. Later in Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu says about it that for 40 days and 40 nights he didn't eat bread, he didn't drink water. He was like a malach. V'zeh Pele Godol. Says the Ibn Ezra, this is a wonder. Lo niye kamoyu lefanov. Never before, never has been such an unbelievable wonder, such an amazing miracle as this incident of Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. What exactly was the miracle? What was the pele gadol? So Chaim Kreisler, the famous chief rabbi of Antwerp, one of the gedolim of the previous generation, the Nasi of Merkaz HaTorah Yeshiva, he says an amazing insight. Let me preface the insights with a vote, with a story. The Chofetz Chaim was not the Rosh Hashiva in Radin, but he lived in Radin, and of course he was the Gadol Hador, the author of the Mishnah Berurah, one of the greats of our time. The Rosh Hashiva in Radin was unwell, so the boys in the yeshiva were very perturbed. They decided to do something very novel. Each boy is going to commit to give a certain amount of their own life to the Rosh Hashiva in order to prolong the Rosh Hashiva's life. And the boys went, the delegation went to the Chofetz Chaim to ask if he too would donate some of his years to the Rosh Hashiva. Chofetz Chaim thought about it. He was very impressed with the boys, but he thought about it. And after a while, he lifted his head and he said, I will donate 1 minute of my life. The boys were a bit disappointed. They were all hoping for much more. The Chofetz Chaim says, do you know what 1 minute is? Do you know what 1 minute can buy? It can buy all eternity. This is the explanation, the background to the Ibn Ezra. Says Reb Chaim Kreisberg, Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Har Sinai not just for 40 days and 40 nights, he was there for three periods of 40 days and 40 nights. A total of 120 days. During this time, he was almost like he was semi-angelic. He therefore gave up 120 days and nights of being in this world for the sake of Klal Yisrael, to get the Torah, to give it to Klal Yisrael, then go back and to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the sin of the Egel Azov and to get the Luch HaShnias for a third set of 40 days. So he gave up 120 days and nights of his life for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And he understood the value of time more than any of us. The famous Medrash at the very end of Zos HaBracha, Moshe Rabbeinu is told he's going to die. He's pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let me go into Eretz Yisrael, let me live a little longer. I'll come back as an animal. I'll come back as a bird. Got the Medrash here on the sheet. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no, because he appreciated the value of time. And yet he was able to give up 120 days of his days and nights for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. That, says Reb Chaim Kreisberg, is what the Ibn Ezra is referring to. That is the Pele Gadol. We've never had such an example of Mesiras Nefesh like that. And that ties into Purim. Yeah, we're not long off. Purim, of course, is a famous Medrash. The Chiddush Arim says that Rabbi Kiva, the Medrash says at the bottom of the page there, Rabbi Kiva Yoshiv Deiresh, he was once speaking, he was darshan and giving shir. Vatzibu misnamne. This is a comfort to any public speaker. And people were sleeping. If they slept in Rabbi Kiva's shir, gives a comfort to anyone else. He wanted to wake them up. What was it that Esther Malka ruled over 127 Medinas? And a Tovei Esther shows about Spita Shal Sarah, because Esther recouped the Schar of Sarah, she lived Sarah may have lived for 127 years, therefore her descendant Esther Malka ruled over 127 provinces. And that was an effect, that was an attempt by Rabbi Kiva to wake up his Talmidim. What's Pshat? The Chiddush Arim says a beautiful word, famous word. Work it out. One Medina per year. You're given, if you live a life fully, as Sarah Imenu did, for each year that you live, you get a whole country. What does that mean? Think about it. You get England. England for a year, well lived. That means for a month, you get London. For a week, you get a quarter of London, northwest London. For a day, you get the whole of Barnet. For an hour, you get several streets in Hendon. For a minute, you can get one whole street, and for a second, you can get a whole house. And a house could be worth a lot of money. So if each second is worth hundreds of thousands of pounds, £1 million, whatever it may be, he was trying to impress on his students the value of time. Sarah may have lived 127 years, and she was rewarded that her descendant, Esther Malka, was ruled over 127 provinces. Rabbi Kiva was teaching his students, this is the value of time, don't shluff. That's why he used this idea to be ma'ira, to arouse the students, to wake them up from their slumber. The value of time, and that says that Ebenezer was really the mysterious nefesh of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the Pelagon. So there we have it tonight, four very beautiful ideas from Parshas Mishpatim. The first, that idea of Reb Leib Lapyon, that real empathy from the Eved Ivri. Why is it we don't say Chayecha Kaidmim? The answer is, because if he were to sleep on the straw, it's worse than if you were to sleep on the straw. You sleep on the straw, it's just an uncomfortable night. He sleeps on the straw, it's an uncomfortable night, plus a reminder that he's an Eved. When we do Chesed, we have to do Chesed with sensitivity, like Rav Gissinger and the deli sandwich. Then we discussed the Sheikhat Le'sikach, Divrei Tzadikim, not the words of the righteous, because if they take a Sheikhat, they can't be righteous, but rather words that are just, says the Baruch Tanura. We see that Reb Chaim Kanievsky, an amazing insight. Tzadikim here is spelt mole, the rest of the Torah choser. Why? Because of the rest of the Torah, no tzaddik is mole. No tzaddik, you can't have a tzaddik gomor. Adam ain tzaddik ba'aretz, etc. However, the point of the posuk is telling me that even a tzaddik gomor will be affected by sheikhat. Amazing. Then we have the idea of midvash sheker tirchok, that very powerful concept. Why is it this is the only time in the Torah we're told to keep away from something? Because that is sheker. Sheker is so destructive that we have to just keep our distance from it. And that very powerful idea of the Sfas Tomim, the Chofetz Chaim, who says that the Shomrei HaPesach of Gan Eden won't allow someone access if they enter the world, if they leave the world with owing someone money, or with having repaid, or having stolen and not repaid. And that very powerful story of Reb Chaim Volozhin and his Yeshiva Bach and the Heavenly Tribunal. And lastly, the gift of time, that amazing Ibn Ezra, that this was the Peleg Gadol. What exactly was the Peleg Gadol? The Moshe Rabbeinu, who appreciated time more than all of us, was desperate to come back even in the form of an animal or a bird, but yet he was willing to give up 120 days and nights of normal life in order to have this sort of semi-angelic state to plead on behalf of Klal Yisrael. That was Mesiras Nefesh to the highest degree. And that really is one of the messages, perhaps, of Purim as well, like we said, Rabbi Kiva and the value of time, that Esther Malka was given 127 Medinas to reflect the life that Sarah Imenu had lived to the very fullest in her 127 years. I wish you all well, and look forward to seeing you next week in Yitz Hashem. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.